Hey, we're going to take a look now at Mark chapter 14 and the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. So this starts in verse 43. And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him. But he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. So again, Jesus has willingly come out to meet Judas, knowing that Judas is coming, willingly gone to the cross on our behalf. And we detail or we zoom in here on Judas's betrayal. What did Judas have to offer? If you keep in mind, throughout Jesus' ministry, he has done a good job of hiding. If he wanted to, he could have built a large movement with big crowds. But most often in the Gospel of Mark, he's in remote places. He's remaining aloof. It is, in some sense, a fulfillment of David's remaining in hiding. And so keep in mind that Jesus is good at hiding and that the leaders in Jerusalem are not awfully good at finding out where he is. So what did Judas have to offer? Well, he knew Jesus' habits. He knew where Jesus would be that night. He could help them identify him among the various disciples. And he could help the leadership in Jerusalem sort of sweep him under the rug. And that was the point. They wanted to catch him not in the midst of a crowd who would have been really upset, but secretly and quietly. And in this sense, I would say that they're doing what Paul says in Romans that people in general do, which is suppress the truth. Remember, they could not defeat him with their reason. They could not defeat him with their schemes. They could not out-interpret the Bible. They were ultimately all undone by the way in which he authoritatively opened the Bible and the way in which he brilliantly refuted all their attempts to confuse him. And so what do they do? Well, instead of saying, "You know what? We're wrong. He's right. Let's follow him," they decide we've got to suppress the truth. We've got to get it out of the way so that we can continue along the path that we have chosen for ourselves, so that we can keep our place. And notice, too, that Jesus did not use what I would call underhanded means, or what Paul in 2 Corinthians calls underhanded means. Jesus didn't advertise. He didn't manipulate. He refused force. He refused kind of emotional manipulation. He straightforwardly and simply presented the truth as an appeal to every man's conscience. And he calls us to do the same. Paul said, "Listen, we don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." And so we get a model of what we are called to do and what Jesus does here, and perhaps even a model of the consequences for doing that. And then finally, this moment where the young man, it doesn't identify the young man. Some people think it's the author himself saying, "Look, I ran away too." There's an Old Testament reference probably going on here in Amos chapter 2. It says this: "Flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not retain his strength, nor shall the mighty save his life. He who handles the bow shall not stand, and he who is swift of foot shall not save himself, nor he who rides the horse save his life. And he who is stout of heart among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, declares the Lord." Remember, just an hour before, Peter said, "Hey, listen, even if they all betray you, I won't betray you. I won't run away." And maybe it was Peter, doesn't say here in Mark, but maybe it was Peter who struck off the ear of the servant of the high priest. But notice how weak this is. They all kind of thought they were going to be this militant band defending Jesus, and there's one guy who cuts off one guy's ear, and then everybody scatters. Human strength, the strength of Achilles and the cleverness of Odysseus, those are all, they all, on the day of this visitation, they all fall flat. And I think that's the point. But I think there's probably also something else going on here. The man is wrapped in a linen garment, and he gets that torn away from him and runs away naked. The next time we see a linen garment in the Gospel of Mark is when Jesus' naked and dead body is wrapped in it. And I think what we're seeing here is that young man, because he was a kind of a rebel against Rome and against the leadership in the temple, was slated for death. Jerusalem was slated for death because of its failure to produce fruit. And Jesus himself takes that young man's place, Jerusalem's place, our place, to bear our sins so that we could live. And so I think that there's definitely a hint here that that young man's neck was saved and Jesus' neck would be substituted. And so again, I think we're reminded of the great, after Jesus had resolved and had found the resources in prayer, he goes with great calm, with great determination toward the cross on our behalf. And may we learn to follow him. May we learn to find that grace in prayer to our Father, which is his Father, and receive the love of God poured out in our hearts that will allow us to be poured out for others. Amen.